from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the show. It's a Wednesday morning and a beautiful one, too. Gosh, I'm telling you, I think back to how many times this crop production show has been a trudge through the parking lot in minus 30 degrees and you're just absolutely frozen. This morning you're walking in, don't even really have a coat on. It's the weather has been great for this, which I think adds to the inclination for people to say, let's go to the show, because we had great crowds here yesterday, and I expect today is going to be jam-packed. Crop production show at Prairie Land in Saskatoon, and if you do come down, we're in Hall D broadcasting this show here all morning, and so I'd love for you to pop by and say hi. Thanks to all the people that have so far. Well, Sean Haney, a regular on our radio station and our program, of course, the Real Ag Minute every day, Real Ag on the weekend. His team is out in full force here at the Western Canadian Crop Production Show. And I'm joined at the booth, actually, by a couple of the professionals that work alongside Sean Haney. I've got Amber Bell joining us, who is the Alberta Field Editor with Real Agriculture and host. You would hear her on Ruminating with Real Ag podcast. So, Amber, thank you so much for being here.
It is great to be here at the show today.
And, yeah, I appreciate you being here. And Lindsay Smith, a name and a voice that I recognize because you step into the chair for Sean often. I know you're editor with Real Agriculture. And I believe you're going to be hosting Real Ag on the weekend this weekend.
That is right. Good to see you, Evan.
Welcome.
Great to be here.
Good to have you both here. What do you feel the vibe is of the show? You know, we talk about farmers and there's all the challenges and we can get dragged into the mire of it, but the attitude feels pretty good. Would you agree?
It definitely does. It is interesting because it seems like producers are just really focusing on their farms, wanting to grow their farms, and just getting down to business, keeping down to business, really, I should say.
Maybe sounds cliche, but I feel like that's just the farmer way, right? There's only, you can't control so many things. And so as frustrating as we are with whether it's pests or the tariffs, you can only control so much, so you kind of focus on what you can control.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it is wonderful to, of course, have these face-to-face discussions and really, you know, ask farmers, you know, what are they worried about? What are they concerned about? And you're exactly right. I mean, there are certain things that are within our control for management decisions, those sorts of things. And then there's so many other things that are not, that still require management just in a different way. We certainly are hearing, yes, a lot of concern about the tariffs, a lot of concern about just costs in general, input costs. You know, input costs staying sticky while crop prices have slid, depending on them. So, and one of the really key parts here of when you start to really crunch the numbers, it is going to be a tough year to pull some of that profit margin out of this year. But like you said, farmers are up to the challenge and they're going to manage what they can. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a pretty tough year for profitability.
When we talk about the issues, you know, it feels like tariffs is on the top of everyone's mind, just given the fact that's in every news cycle. We talk about a lot on the show. We just talked this week, though, about traceability when it comes to livestock. So do you have a thought of, like, what is the kind of the main issue on the minds of people that are at this show? Maybe the livestock issue does not as applicable here at this crop show.
Yeah, I think, and we ask this question often to our audience as well. Profitability is a key one, but when we look at sort of large scale, I think there is, and this is one of the things I'll talk about today. We're going to talk about a little bit about the crops forum of where I'm going to be today. There are these large scale issues. It's not just about tariffs per se; it's trade in general, mm-hmm. And you know this industry has really been challenged by several different avenues of trade, whether that's logistical challenges or, you know, things like tariffs all over the place. And so it is difficult, I think, sometimes to sort of separate the everyday from, like, the doom and gloom that, mm-hmm. that can be out there. The traceability question is an interesting one. That, I think, is maybe part of a bigger conversation that is really about sort of policy changes, and really feeling whether or not the government and the government that we have is really, like, do they have our back?
Are they getting it?
Are they getting it? Exactly. Yeah. And so that, I think, is like I'm hopeful, anyway, that will be a bit of a shift with a new government, a new ag minister. Do we start to see some of these issues that have maybe been sort of ignored actually brought to the forefront?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think when it comes to the traceability issues, too, it's interesting because as people, it's while a lot of people are complaining about it, it's a good thing that it's getting forefront noticed, that producers are becoming more engaged in the conversation. So there's that side of it too.
Right. Is there this feeling, and this is a very rhetorical question, Sean and I've talked about this before, that oftentimes Ottawa, number one, doesn't really understand agriculture and the importance of it. Maybe the importance of it is the wrong way to look at it, but the implications that can happen with some of the decisions that are made down east and what either operationally or from an impact perspective it would have on here. Tariffs is a good example, because there are a lot of people that predicted the day that those EV tariffs were put on, this is coming.
And that, I think, is one of the key challenges for, say, our producer groups, for those that head to Ottawa and do those meetings with our MPs and our lobbying groups that try, they do. I mean, it's a huge part of their job is to try and keep those that are making the rules and regulations, those that are making trade deals, those that are trying to keep them sort of in the real world, exactly that, of like what's happening at the field level, what's happening at the farm level. And it is a general frustration of, you know, exactly that sort of that distance from reality where, you're exactly right that on some of these regulatory changes, it may be an unintended consequence, but it wasn't something that, you know, comes out of the blue. Many people could have pointed this out. And I will say on this issue of the tariffs on canola, also pulses. Canola gets all the bandwidth, but pulses are also, peas are being tariffed as well,
yep.
Pork as well. And so, you know, realistically, we have to keep, we just have to keep that conversation going at all times to continue, because you're right, it is very far. The Canadian Shield is like this big barrier, right? And then Ottawa exists in its own little bubble.
Yeah.
And in that bubble, it can be hard sometimes to sort of break through and say, you know, I know that you're worried about all these things, but like actual productivity happens.
Right.
And we're growing a crop. We need to send it to the world.
Lindsay Smith is joining me at the booth along with Amber Bell, both with Real Agriculture. I have a steady kind of a trap line, I like to call it, of websites and places that I go to get my information. I prep for the show. If it's ag-related, realagriculture.com is where I go. I love the work that you guys do, and I'm appreciative that you are willing to join us here today. We had a text actually late yesterday that I thought I was going to tuck away for you two today, because the texter said, I'm not a farm person. I've born and raised in, and this person was in Saskatoon. Help me understand, when we talk about tariffs and we talk about these challenges, what are the actual implications for the everyday farmer? So we talk a lot about we need Canada to trade and whatever. What does it mean for Dave, who's farming south of Bigger? What does this mean for him? Could you give this texter an answer to
that? Sure. And New York is big, but that is Bigger. So there you go. we love Bigger. Yeah.
Gratuitous Bigger joke.
Yeah, exactly. That, you have to. It's a rule. You have to slide that one in there. So, and this is, I think, one of the, there are a lot of policy issues, regulatory issues that sometimes can be very removed or feel very removed. This is one of those ones that has a direct impact on the farm because, and although we don't have necessarily the hard and fast numbers right now as to what this is potentially costing farmers, we can get a pretty good estimate, right? So we recognize that the full brunt of specifically the canola tariffs or the pulse tariffs, it is bringing the price down because we can't move product. So, now, granted, some canola is going to move, and it will make its way into China. It's just going to take the long way. I mean, that happens whenever this happens. Trade flows do shift, and they make up the room. However, like right now, we don't know exactly how much lower the canola price is, but or the pulse price by how much, but we know that it is. So at the very minimum, there is a very real and very immediate income difference.
Right.
And that is well and truly. And I think What is really challenging from the perspective of not just covering this, but also like trying to figure out where we go with this, like it can be easy or seem easy to say, well, just get rid of the EV tariffs. China will buy our canola again. Everything's hunky dory. The problem is that the U.S. is our biggest trading partner, and that's not going to sit well with the U.S. And I know lots of people may say, well, we don't care. The U.S. isn't being nice to us. I get that. The U.S. still buys billions of dollars
in
of product, including canola. They are our biggest canola buyer.
Yeah.
And so do we really want to tick off our biggest canola buyer? No. So this is a very intricate, very complicated equation. At the same time, is there some middle ground? Maybe. Like the EU has tariffs on EVs, on Chinese EVs, but not as high as ours. So could we see maybe a reduction that might get canola flowing again? Possibly.
Chatting with Lindsay Smith and Amber Bell. So Lindsay was just talking about the reduced price on canola. Back to Dave, South Farming South of Bigger, there's also this possibility that they can't sell their canola. So now they maybe have a storage issue.
And that was what I was kind of going to go into there, is from a farmer's perspective, do you hold, do you sell, if it's already bought, like you have to have storage. And so I think there are people that are running out of storage capacity for it.
They're
looking into
the
next
Tupperware
season
drawer to see what they find.
I don't know if there's storage capacity. So that's one of the decisions that growers have to make right now that can be a really tough one.
Right. You know, I mentioned I love listening to Real Ag on the weekend. I use your website regularly. Your team gets the opportunity to speak directly with frontline ag leaders, farmers all the time. Is there an issue that you think isn't getting attention that maybe we should be focused on? Like, we talk a lot about tariffs. We've been talking traceability with livestock. But is there something that's going on that needs to be seen the light of day?
That's a really great question. We cover what we say sometimes, you know, we cover a mile wide and an inch deep, because there are just so many parts to an active agriculture industry, in that we do cover livestock, we do cover crops, we cover policy, we cover news. And so I think from our own perspective, we're probably a little bit biased because we touch on all those things. But you're exactly right. If you're, you know, someone listening or what, we tend to gravitate towards wanting to hear more about what applies to us the most. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes if you're not really interested in a topic, it's pretty easy to sort out those news stories or those podcasts and maybe not pay as much attention. I do think, and we know this from the calls that we get, from the traffic that we get on videos, et cetera, there are things that we always want to know about, like new equipment and new fun. And Amber does a great job at this show capturing some of those videos and getting some of those things. Agronomy is always really popular. People have questions. They want to know solutions, et cetera. And those are all very good things. Where we at times, I think, fall down is where we probably need to up our game on the financial side, on the business risk side, on just the sort of maybe less exciting parts of agriculture.
Right.
And I'm guilty of this too, like things like working with your accountant and booking, et cetera. But, you know, we don't do as good of a job on the financial literacy side. And I know that that's super boring, but it's really important.
For sure. It would be. Well, let's talk about some of the exciting stuff, because as I walk through here, I'm a farm kid, grew up on the farm, still like to get home and give my brother a hand with harvest. But I look at the equipment and it's just, to me, like, wow, where agriculture has gone is incredible. Can you speak to some of the exciting things that you're seeing at this show and even developments that you've noticed in the last year or so?
Well, there's definitely some amazing big equipment coming out. A lot of it is big, but one of the things that I've been interested in is the little adjustments and changes. And I think that there's a lot of dealers that are really upgrading software, and that's been really big. And just making tweaks to what producers already have on their machinery. And those little tweaks are ones that can save a lot of money, that make life a lot easier, save time, which is money. And I think that for me, that's what's been really exciting to see, is that there's been more of a push to, while getting a new sprayer, a new combine is always super exciting, the day-to-day is often in the little adjustments.
Right. Is AI a thing at a show like this to talk much? Talk about the impact that is having.
Yeah. So, and of course, we're in agriculture, so AI for us means something different, but we have to shift and think about artificial intelligence on this point. It applies to both. Yes, there's a huge opportunity for AI, and we've already seen it. Things that we maybe wouldn't have called AI, things like green on brown technology for spraying, for spot spraying, but we're really seeing a ramping up on a couple fronts. One, of course, is on data management, and then the other would be on just automating tasks that are repetitive, sort of behind the scenes stuff. But we will see an incredible leap forward, I think, in the coming years on the automation side, dovetailed in with the generative AI side, because it really does come down, as Amber says, time is money. And if we can be more efficient on the labor front, anything that saves that is going to be a game changer.
I want to talk quickly. We're getting close to the end of our time. But, Lindsay, you're moderating a panel today with leaders from Grain Growers of Canada, Cereals Canada, Canola Council, Pulse Canada. What do you expect to come up with that?
Well, it might get a little spicy, I mean, I'll be honest.
Define spicy for us, for good reason.
So we talk, well, I will say it is a group, and hats off to the national leaders for sitting down. The focus is going to be on, you know, what they do on behalf of producers, at the national level. And really, I think there will be questions that come down to, you know, do we have enough representation? Is it too much potentially? There's going to be that. And really, what are the productivity questions? So tariffs, logistics, et cetera. What's actually happening?
Right.
Like, what's the action item? So that could get
spicy.
What
time does that fire up?
That's at 12:45.
12:45.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, listen, this has been a great chat. Amber Bell and Lindsay Smith, thank you for the work you do. It's outstanding work. Thank you for being a great voice for the ag sector. And thank you for joining me at the booth here at the Crop Production Show.
It was wonderful getting to chat with you.
Yeah,
lovely. Thanks, Evan.
Have you both here. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.